Our text for today is found in your Pew Bible on page 844, if you follow along with me. It is Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. As we get to the end of that passage on page 845 in your Pew Bibles, you will be familiar with it. But as I've said many times before, I encourage you to hear it with new ears as we hear what is familiar. Matthew 11. Listen and hear God's word for you today. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be together this morning. Thankful to join in worship. Thankful to exalt you, to bless you, and to study your word. Now, as we stop and consider these words, speak to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, as we begin today, would you agree with me that God asks a lot of us? God asks a lot of us. I'm exhausted. I'm stressed to the limits. I'm bone tired. I feel drained. I'm running on fumes. I'm on the edge of burnout. For me, I'm losing my voice. Have you heard yourself or someone else say those words to you during this time of pandemic and social distancing? I'm stressed to my limit. I'm bone tired. I'm running on fumes. While the temptation exists to believe that feeling or saying these things out loud, or maybe even whispering them when you're by yourself, somehow means you are lesser of a Christian, they do not. If we are honest and transparent with ourselves, at one time or another, maybe even this morning, many of us have felt this way, feeling that we are pressed to our very limit. There is no more to give. Feeling like whatever Giant Eagle or Walmart or Aldi is going to present to us when we go shopping is just too much. And there's got to be something in the fridge I can eat because I can't bear seeing them anymore. We live in a fast-paced world where we're often faced with insensitive or selfish people. We know people who are hurrying and rushing, working too hard until all their energies are depleted, and our personal well-being in the midst of that is just shredded. It's in tatters. But that behavior, isn't it, is praised. It is sought, often in our context. It is a social marker of a life well-oriented and lived. In reading our Matthew text today, Jesus gives us a clear invitation and a clear promise. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know anyone in my entire walk, and I know it's not as long as maybe some of your walks with God have been, who has not fallen back onto those words at different times of their day. Hard times such as this, or hard times before, they've fallen into, "Come to me, all you who are weary." And they say it like that. As we come to the 4th of July weekend, and we notice certain social and national markers, I've been thinking about Lady Liberty in New York Harbor with the inscription, the famous inscription from Emma Lazarus, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." These words echo Jesus' invitation and promise. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Breathe. There is rest here." Today we're going to consider this section from Matthew's gospel that you know so well, and our need for rest. These words come to us at the end of Jesus' response to the disciples of John the Baptist who have come to seek him out for answers and support. If you remember contextually what's going on here, John has been arrested, and he has sent his disciples to Jesus to inquire about if this Jesus character is the Messiah, or as they say, should we be looking for another? For the followers of John, ministry, as it will be for the disciples of Jesus, has been hard to endure. To respond to those disciples and to us, Jesus offers the longer discourse that takes up the entire rest of chapter 11 and ends with the reminder that when you feel bone tired, exhausted, and weak, worn out, when you are weary, as they are, come to me, Jesus says. As I mentioned briefly a few weeks ago, Jesus was well known for how he demonstrated and how he lived out a posture of compassion to the people that he met. Time and again, Jesus practiced a compassionate stance, a posture with the people of his community. These are the people that God sent him to. They were drawn to him, every one of them, I think. People who were exhausted, overwhelmed, broken by what the world had done to them and how they lived. People who yearned to breathe free. Christ did not have to seek them out directly, but he often found himself surrounded by them. These people know that their lives are very busy, that they are pressed, that they are too busy to know how to deal with their situation. And so Christ's compassion facilitated how they entered into God's rest. This is also true, again, when it comes to how he encountered John's disciples in Matthew 11. Think about what brings them to Jesus specifically that day. The disciples of John the Baptist have been following Jesus around, much like the disciples of Jesus have been following him around since they were all called. They've heard the criticisms, these disciples. They've watched from the bank as the religious leaders of the day sneered and attacked John repeatedly. They experienced the pain when he was arrested. And they seek answers from God as to how to move onward when their hope and their energies are zapped. The question behind their action and the question of the local people, the sick and the wounded who come to Christ, is also the question you and I ask God this morning when we come to him. How do we find strength to continue in a world that feels out of control and we are too worn out to keep up the fight? Reynolds Price, as he was reflecting on Jesus' life, says it this way: "The amazing thing about Jesus was this compassion. He never turned anyone away. But after days of teaching and healing, when he felt his energy waning, Jesus would steal away to a lonely place to rest." Jesus is giving us the same invitation in our own way. Come to me, but steal away together. Let us rest. You have been busy, either at work or at home or perhaps alone, which is a hard place to find rest in. Bring that to the Lord as we begin to think about what this passage means for us. Speak about that stressor as you move through the passage. But in saying or acknowledging or confessing this desire, we might, it's possible, fall into the temptation of thinking that if I'm a good Christian, I don't need to rest. We might want to, but it's against our nature much of the time to seek the rest that Jesus offers in this task, a rest based upon his compassion. Do we not affirm, without words that we are called to share our time, talents, and gifts. We work here. We practice our faith. We get out there. We comment. We act at Plains. We tell our story. None of that really speaks specifically about resting in God at all. But at the end of the day, do you not lay down and fall into a place of rest? Another commentator I read this week says in response to that idea, how can Jesus offer rest when he does in fact ask so much of you? What Jesus offers is not, you see, freedom from work, but freedom from the onerous labor. The easy yoke means having something to do, though, a purpose that demands your all and summons forth your best. It means working toward a certain future in which all of God's dreams finally do come true. To accept the yoke of the gentle and the humble Lord is to embrace the worthy task that he puts the soul at ease when they're with him. And so in this way, Jesus seems to turn the whole thing around back on its head, as he's good at doing. He offers us his yoke as a way to address the busy lives we have and as an access point to his divine rest. I would not have thought initially that a yoke was an item that promotes rest in their world. Yokes were used, as you know, in farming as a way to maximize the effort and the work of a team of animals to till a field. What Jesus' invitation begets for us in this passage is a practice of rest, an end to busyness, a freeing of the suffering that we deal with, freeing of the anxiety and the stress that is commonplace in our world. What if his yoke, which we conceive of as a tool of work, is an invitation to union and an invitation to rest? What we have in this image is the invitation. Jesus offers us a relationship in this rest where we can walk step and step with him, not out of step, but walking in a pattern that begets relationship with him. It's a form of Sabbath keeping. As a man of Jewish descent, Jesus knows plenty about this type of living and the necessity of it. He practiced it in his early life. As God in heaven, he created it and taught it to the children of Israel. One thing that the coronavirus has given us is a lot of time to be alone in one form or another. What if that is not an opportunity to do more, but an invitation to rest and to be at peace with Christ? The second thing Jesus offers in this invitation, which is related to the first, is a release. The opportunity to let go of the stresses and the pressures, release the inner obstacles that block us, and indeed walk stride for stride with Christ. Let him do the work. Let him do the leading that you think you're called to. I read a story this week about a retiring Baptist pastor who started attending Quaker Friends meetings in North Carolina as a way to reconnect with God. He said, recently in the meeting, we were all sitting quietly with our eyes closed. The windows were open to let the fresh springtime air in. The children were outside playing. I could hear a child in the distance chanting or sing over and over, "Let it go. Let it go." The pastor wondered if the child were tugging on a rope or ball. Maybe they were fighting with another child, a sibling. But then he began to hear the words a little differently. "Let it go." Never mind that the child was likely singing the song from Frozen, right? To let it go. This was an opportunity for that pastor to gain or feel a release when the normal stresses of the day were pressing down upon him, as it is also an invitation for us to let go of the societal expectations to be busy, to work harder, to be more efficient, and just enter into that yoke of Christ and breathe free. I wonder, would that be something that was easy for you to do? to enter into God's rest even now when your own productivity mandates certain actions and choices in your day. I wonder what would it look like to live differently with this passage as your central inspiration of your walk of faith. And like that little child said, let it go. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful to be together this morning. We are thankful to stop and to consider you, what you're doing, how you're doing it, what it means for us. As we continue to worship you, can help us to enter into your rest, to your peace. And as we do so, to find how simple that can be. So in Christ's name we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, will you stand with me as you are able today as we come together confessing in one voice the truth we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue in our worship of Almighty God. And as we prepare to come together as the church and share joys and concerns and participate in Christ's ministry of prayer and intercession, where have you seen God at work? Jennifer. Not Mom and Melanie.
Just Mom.
Not Mom, by herself. God was indeed at work yesterday. We are thankful for those, as Jennifer said, who were able to be with us on such a hot day. It wasn't too bad under the trees, but if you were one of those foolish people who stepped out into the sunlight, right? Whoa, it was a lot. And we are thankful as a family that Mom was able to help, that Melanie was able to help, and Emma, for those who are at home on Zoom and didn't see, Emma helped clean up quite a bit, and she has the dishpan hands probably still to prove it. Thank you, sweetheart. And it was good as well. Jennifer did have the opportunity to reconnect with her family. And it was good. And it was good. Where have you seen God at work, though? Joanne, sorry. It's hard with the little light in my face sometimes to see you back there. But Joanne. No, I don't. We couldn't forget what you look like, my friend. Yeah, you should be sitting over here, by the way. I still blame that on John and Nina, by the way, for moving people around, but that's all right. Joanne, my friend.
Just so nice to be back. I appreciate all the cards and everything. I'm still going to the doctors, but I'm not 100% yet. I don't suppose every little bit. But if we're at the end, it's that everything is moving, so that's just enough.
It is good to have you, Joanne, back with us. We can see God at work with you. And I think you're not yet 100%. Plenty of people would take you're not 100% and call that 100%. So it's good to see you with us.
Well, I wasn't there yesterday. I was down with my
great-grandfather. It's okay. That's sacred work. You know, absolutely. You only turned 7 once, so that's an important thing to go celebrate. But we're glad you're with us. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing this morning with us in worship. As we come to the time of intercession, joys, concerns, and prayers, do you have joys and concerns to share as the congregation? Tiffany. We're glad to hear your father's out of the hospital. We will keep him in our prayers today as they search for the cause of what brought him to that, that they find the answers they're looking for, certainly. Are there others? Joanne. We will continue to keep Lou Gehring in our prayers. He had a knee replacement quite a while ago, and the knee bone is deteriorating. So you say he's got appointments coming to try to figure out what they're going to do next. We will pray for him today. Jennifer. We're glad to hear the update from Sally, your friend at work. We will keep Finn and Christian, her twins, in our prayers as they get stronger and hope to go home. And think of Sally this morning, of course, having to leave them behind at the hospital. I'm sure that's not easy, but we will pray for the family. Are there others today? Then let us be the church. Loving God, freeing God. God who offers us his rest and presence, we come to you today thanking you for bringing us together in freedom as a nation to worship you in spirit and in truth, to sing of your goodness and affirm our heritage, to affirm what's going on in our world even. We thank you for this opportunity to gather, for the familiar and friendly faces who are with us on Zoom and on Facebook, and those who are with us here in the worship house. We give you glory, and we praise you that you brought us together. We thank you for how this week you have exceeded our expectations. Things have been done around us that we're not even aware were we needed. But you were aware, and we needed them, and so you came. We lift up to you today, young Finn and Christian. Thank you that their delivery was smooth, that Sally is doing well. Be with these young boys as they grow. Get them out of the NICU quickly, home with their family even quicker. And be with mother and father and siblings as they leave them behind in the hospital for now. Watch over them. We think of Lou Gehring. We ask you to be with him as he goes and sees a doctor for this deterioration in his knee bone following over a year ago's knee replacement. We pray that as they go through that and as they work with Lou, that treatment and options would be presented to him so that his mobility would be strong and he can get back to the life he knows. We pray for Tiffany's father. We are glad, as she is, that he is home from the hospital. The joy that that brings in bringing someone out of the hospital. But yet the cause is unknown for now. And so we ask that as Tiffany's father and family look to the doctors and caregivers to provide answers, and as those doctors and caregivers work and care for them, for him, and do the testing, that the answers that he and they need would be found. It would surface. And we pray for the needs that live in our hearts this morning. Those which we have not spoken to each other, but those which ping at us, ache in us. And we commit them to you. Lord God, as we continue to worship you today, as we go back out into our world to still enjoy time with friends and family on this 4th of July weekend, watch over us. And hear us together as with one voice we offer you the first prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.